This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You are with Kelvin and Hezril, and our next story looks at protectionism in the automotive industry and whether it's time to lift it. This story comes from Free Malaysia Today. Economist Barjoy Bardai suggested removing duties on imported cars for 6 months as a test run to see how it will affect the local automotive industry. He said now is a good time as any, as the government will have to eliminate any sort of protection for the industry eventually anyway. And he believes that local players like Proton and Perodua have had time to be established and that a move like this could boost the economy.
Yeah, so this issue has come under the spotlight again following the government's car sales tax relief in the Panjana stimulus package. This includes a 100% SST exemption on locally assembled vehicles and a 50% sales tax reduction on fully imported models from June 15th to December 31st, 2020.
So, all of this is to get people to buy cars again, but whether it will work is another question, as it doesn't directly encourage competitive pricing. However, the risk of removing protections for some industries now might mean job and income losses. And I think the fear is that if, let's say, the impact from removing these protections are too dire, factories will start closing down, showrooms will also start closing down, and then jobs will just disappear.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to consider here. Car duty imports have been such a contentious issue because there's the need to, you know, address competition to for the sake of Proton's and Perodua's success, but also to address the way people live and what cars they can afford and the ability to, I guess, move up the ladder and enjoy some of the good things in life, to paraphrase. But that's the thing. I'm not sure on, you know, what's on people's minds right now as they deal with things like rent and job losses and pay cuts. I wonder if it's a priority and if other things besides car duty imports need to be addressed. And I think it was the same economist who said that the current tax exemptions really don't make a difference to people, especially in this financial situation. In fact, he said that even though they may sound a lot, ultimately it actually reduces the price of cars by only 5% overall. Mm-hmm. So, does this mean that other things need to be looked at? I'm not sure.
Yeah, for sure. and really, I think if we were to look at one example of where there might be signs that actually there will be some people spending on cars. I think cars, it will be divided on income and class lines. We look at South Korea, for instance. Some of the biggest car brands there are expecting to have their best sales this year because the rich people in South Korea benefited from rising stock and property prices, whereas the vulnerable workers there, you know, those who work at mom and pop stores, for example, they've lost their jobs. So luxury cars there are apparently doing very well, and they will continue to do well throughout the whole of this year. So perhaps locally, that's what the government is trying to get at, right? Trying to get that's money that could come from purchasing cars. And, you know, on that discussion, I guess on Twitter, we already have this comment from NM Ibrahim that says, you guys live in your own bubble, really don't see the relevance of this discussion on cars and buying cars during these times. And, well, we're just really responding to government policy at this point in time, right? Because they are trying to push consumers to buy cars so that the automotive industry here stays afloat.
Right. And it's an important subject because, during this time when people are calling for experimentation to essentially make foreign cars as affordable as Malaysian ones could put more local jobs at risk at a time when everyone's starting to recover. So I think, frankly, it is, you know, a very important issue. On that note, though, I think it goes back to the mindset of the people. I wonder, you know, are people trying to look for things to invest in, right, that will increase in value over the years, or are they going to go straight for cars, which devalue over time and essentially, you know, won't give you any returns? And I wonder if returns is something that are on people's minds right now, right, as they look to perhaps not only recover, but maybe even build their wealth to a point that they can future-proof themselves against other unforeseen crises in the future.
Yeah, so you can let us know with the incentives in place. Are you looking at getting a new car? You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, where we do have a poll running up running as well, asking the question, what would motivate you to buy a car this year? Overwhelmingly, about 3/4, people just aren't planning to buy a car. The rest are deciding between discounts and tax reliefs and deductions. You can let us know whether you are thinking of buying a new car. After this, we will be speaking with Daniel Fernandez, founder of DSF.my, for his thoughts on this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and we are looking at protectionism in the automotive industry and whether it's time to remove it. One economist is suggesting that we do a trial run of about 6 months and see how it affect local players. So we're now going to cross over to Daniel Fernandez, founder of DSF.my, for more of his thoughts. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me.
What are your thoughts on removing duties on imported cars for 6 months as a test run? Do you think this is the right time?
I mean, I'm a car enthusiast, and I'm sure many people out there love cars, and you know, people need cars, and people have always complained about cars being too expensive in Malaysia. So, of course, removing tax will be overly welcomed, and people will be rejoicing, and there'll be carnivals in the streets, you know, if this happens, because cars will be much cheaper. But you cannot do this in Malaysia right now. And the reasons are very simple. Already the used car market is suffering from the SST removal, you know, from the sales tax removal. So even though it's just a small percentage removal, I mean, for some cars it's like maybe 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 ringgit. For imported cars, some expensive cars is up to 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 ringgit. But even with that little bit of tax relief, which has boomed the car market a little bit in the couple of weeks, okay, the used car market is suffering, because can you imagine all the used car dealers who took in cars the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, their stock now value has plunged by 15-20%. So if you drop the value of new cars by taking away import tax, and, you know, taking away protectionism for Perdua and Proton, you are going to plunge the used car market into total bankruptcy. I mean, there are a lot of people employed in the used car market. Of course, people will say, you know, why should we help the used car market? They've made enough money over the years. But still, what is going to happen with all that metal? Do you think that metal is going to rot? Do you think that metal is going to be sold for scrap? We don't have a system of scrapping cars in Malaysia, so there's going to be a lot of losses. Now, when you talk about protecting Perdua and Proton, the number of jobs involved, it's too many along the whole chain to, you know, to ignore. And I was reading the article that you guys shared with me earlier about, you know, some economists saying that, you know, this is a good move for Malaysia and everything else. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if you take away what Perdua and Proton have, I'm not saying we have to help them, but they don't have a big export market, okay? Now, if they were already having a big export market, and a good example was given by another economist who said, look at South Korea, they export cars. Now, South Korea is a very mature car market. Now, last year, they exported something like 2.4 million cars out of South Korea. So when you have that kind of economies of scale, you can bring the prices of your cars to a point where you can compete very favorably in your domestic market with the imported car. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's about efficiency here. If we can't sell enough of those cars, then that just means that if any sort of import duties are removed, there's no chance that these businesses might survive.
Exactly. So if Proton and Perdua were doing jointly, even say a million cars for export. Their economies of scale will be so good, they can bring their prices down. But at the moment, I think they're exporting maybe a few hundred cars overseas, or maybe not even 1,000 cars. I mean, Proton now is, you know, in a revival plan with this input from Geely, so there is some light at the end of the tunnel for the coming years for export. But to do that, you're just going to destroy whatever has been built up over the last few years. And Perdua's dominance in the market will be wiped out. And with that wiping out, you're talking about dealers, you're talking about after sales, you're talking about parts, you're talking about vendors. There's a whole chain of people that and companies that will be not able to survive. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And so you touched on Geely, right? And how
right.
That and Proton's, I guess the Proton's deal with Geely will sort of help it revive, at least in writing. What other things might provide the push then that the industry needs if we're going to keep these protectionist measures?
I can't answer the question. I'm sorry, I'm not an economist, you know. But I can tell you something. This protection system will not go away for at least another 10, 15 years. Because a lot of it is political.
Right. So I guess on that note, just on your thoughts, you know, besides removing import duties, what can we do then to push our automotive industry to get to a much better place?
If you ask me, there should be a hard look at the electric car industry. And why I say the electric car industry? Number one, because at the moment, our local car brands, Perdue and Proton, are not selling electric cars or hybrid cars. Now, if the government were to do a very good incentive scheme, because car chargers are already coming up, a lot of people are already starting to install car chargers, a lot of companies are already starting to motivate this. So if there was a very good tax incentive for, say, electric cars, for example, let's abolish tax for all electric cars. Instead of, you know, looking forward to you know, 5 years or 10 years down the line, let's say today they say, okay, all electric cars imported into the country, no tax at all. In fact, I give you a little bit of rebate for buying an electric car because, you know, it's good for the environment, you're saving fuel, you're not going to be dependent on fossil fuels and everything else. So immediately you'll see Malaysians slowly starting to think, okay, I think I'll buy an electric car because it's almost the same price as a petrol-driven car and I'm saving so much money on fuel and road tax. And then you start the momentum of converting Malaysia to become an electric vehicle hub for the region.
Right. I guess to get there also, we'd likely need some investment into infrastructure, but also talent, right? Do we currently have that and are we currently doing that?
I think infrastructure is of course, always a cost issue, but you know, there's been so much talk about electric car movement in Malaysia, you know, the government involvement and you know, talking to people like the Power Utility Board and everything else. But very little has been done. So a lot of private initiative has gone forward. But then again, you see, it's a chicken and egg situation. I want to buy an electric car, but there's not enough chargers. But to install a charger is not something that you can, you know, that takes years to do. It can be done overnight. It can be done very quickly because companies that are selling car chargers are already in Malaysia. The pricing is already very competitive. They can mobilize their teams to install along the highways. You can talk to petroleum companies to start having chargers in their stations, which Singapore has done very, very effectively. A lot of European countries have done very effectively. So the momentum can start. But imagine now, if I told you, and you know, doing this will not affect Proton and Perdua so much because why electric cars are generally a little bit more expensive, even when they're tax-free, because the technology costs. So if I start doing this right now, if I say tomorrow, okay, government initiative, we're going to give a free tax, no tax at all on all imported electric cars. Doesn't matter from which part of the world they come. China, whether Europe, whether Japan, they come in tax-free. And then I extend a little bit of a rebate, maybe, you know, talk to the banks, you know, 0% interest, you know, get the momentum and the interest running to own an electric car. So a lot of people, instead of buying $150,000 or $160,000 Japanese or Korean vehicle, might say, hey, I think I'll buy an electric car from Japan and Korea because it'll be about the same price. And then the movement will slowly gather pace. Now, when you start doing that, Proton and Perdua are way below that price. So they will still survive. And slowly you'll motivate them to bring in their electric car programs also, which will take some time, but they can definitely do it because whoever they are partnering with has electric car programs. Like Geely has electric car programs. Proton's partner Toyota has electric car programs. So to adapt, it's not difficult. It's all about economies of scale.
Right. So if we look at existing measures, primarily the sales tax relief that came with the Panjana stimulus package, how has this been doing so far? Have sales increased since then?
Of course. If you check, I mean, we talk to a lot of car brands on a daily basis, you know, just to find out what's going on in the market. And all of them have seen a positive movement in car sales. However, there has still been a lot of problems with getting bank loans because even though a lot of buyers come in qualified, say, for example, yourself, you are working for BFM, you got a good salary, your income is not affected. But when you go to the bank is worried that, will you have a job in 6 months' time? Will you have a job in 3 months' time? You know, that kind of worry, cloud is hanging over your loan approval. And then next comes your trade-in car. If you're currently driving, say, a 10-year-old car or a 5-year-old car, if you want to trade in, the new car dealer has to find a used car dealer who's willing to accept your car, right? Now, a lot of used car dealers are very scared to take what they call cold cars. Cold cars means cars that don't turn over, the sale doesn't turn over very quickly because why? They can't afford to hold their money, you know, flow stocking. But if you bring in a hot car, which is basically a car that is, you know, easy to sell, cheap, or maybe a car that has an existing loan which they can convert easily to the next owner, or a car that, you know, it's very popular in the market, the nameplate is very popular, then of course they can take. But again, they will offer you a very low price. Now, from what I've done, the few calls I've done in the last few days before the weekend, what I noticed is premium cars are selling better than mid-range and lower-priced cars. So the premium car market, which is 200,000 and above, is actually doing very well. And no surprise, because I think those people are not really affected by the economic crisis or COVID or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the rest are not seeing a jump as much as they thought they would see.
So, looking ahead to the end of this year, where do you predict the market and how do you predict the market will look like?
I think the surge in purchases will continue for the next few months. The moment that sales tax is affected again, I mean, in effect again, car sales will start, reducing by a big margin. And then you see a shift for people to start buying the lower priced cars. Because if I can't buy the $200,000 car, because, you know, there's no more, there's no more incentive to buy it, I might move my budget down. If I've now had a pay cut or I've lost my job and my new job is paying me less and I still need a new car, I will buy a lower price car. So I think there'll be a shift for lower price cars to sell much better at the end of this year and also the beginning of next year. Because I don't think our economy is going to recover that fast in terms of car purchasing.
Well, on that note, Daniel, thanks again for speaking to us this evening.
No problem. You're welcome.
That was Daniel Fernandez, founder of DSF.my, chiming in with his thoughts on the idea to lift protections for to lift duties on imported cars for 6 months as a test run to see how it affects the local automotive industry. We have been receiving messages on whether or not some people are looking to get cars or not. Jessica flat out says no new cars. And we also have this message here from Kevin that says, currently looking for a car, but hardly any difference with the sales tax removed. So I don't expect to see much improvement on car sales.
So yeah, it's a very interesting insight that Daniel spoke to us about, that these sales tax reliefs are, giving discounts to, I guess, the T20, right, who are clearly not as impacted as this by the middle class and the B40. So, it's very interesting to see how that plays out. And but then again, you know, I'm all for everyone having access, I think, to as equal an opportunity as possible. But it also, to an extent, this also conflicts with other issues in the future, such as how cities are going to be planned in Malaysia, right? The move towards bettering our public transport system and how this all fits. It really needs to. These are all puzzle pieces, right? And I don't think you can address these issues independently of each other. It's a very complex, jigsaw puzzle. And frankly, it seems like the sales tax relief, is a nothing burger in many ways on many fronts.
Depends on the car you want to buy. Right. The more expensive the car is, the better the deal you're getting. Mm. You can send your thoughts in 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.